Good morning, everybody. It was such an honour when I was invited back to speak, particularly coming down to CCK. I was supposed to be in Belfast yesterday, and we've been crazy busy on the road. And for one reason and another, the Belfast, it just didn't happen. It didn't come off. So it's great. I got a day to chill out. But the problem when I got time on my hands is what I'm about to say often gets tweaked, and that's what happened. Whenever I got time to just chill out and listen. So I hope you're ready. I hope you're strapped in, because you invited me and it's your fault. So can I ask, first off, your forgiveness? Do you forgive me? Right, you can't lynch me after. You've forgiven me. That's it. I want to talk to you. I was given the topic of, you can see the sign behind, consider. And it was really interesting because I was sent down some quotes that had kind of come out of, I think it was the last Alpha, and some of the statements. And the one that really stuck with me, the one that really was ringing in my head, someone had said, you know, life is great, life is rosy, why do I need God anyway? And I was like, you're kind of missing the point. You really are missing the point. Having God in your life, it's not about how rosy it is or it isn't. It's not about if you've got loads of cash or you don't. And you're kind of completely missing it. And what I kept thinking was, how many people are walking around with a concept of God, but that concept of God is something that they've picked up from maybe their parents or when they were at school, and they've got all these preconceived ideas. You know, I had loads of preconceived ideas that church was about sandal socks, cardigans, and women with mustaches. And it was that was my preconceived idea of church. And when I actually met Jesus, that's when everything changed. So that's what I want to talk to you. I want you to consider who Jesus actually is and what impact that could, if you're honest and you're open, have on your life. Because I think everybody that's walking around, whether you've been in church 20 years, 50 years, or 2 minutes, maybe this is your first time ever in church. And if it is, I apologize in advance. You are going to feel freaked out. You are going to feel weirded out. And I can't kind of help that at all. And think of it in this context. If I took the Pope and I took him to Cream, he would kind of feel out of context. He wouldn't know whether to put his hands in the air or in his frock. You know what I mean? He wouldn't know what was going on. And that's, I get that. I understand that might be how you're feeling this morning. But just go with it. It's fine. Enjoy it. Have fun. Jesus came up with a lot of really funky statements about himself. And these statements, they either meant that he was absolutely who he said he was or an absolute raving lunatic. There was a kind of, he left no middle ground. He said things like, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the true vine. The one I want to focus in on this morning is, I am the resurrection and the life. Because that one statement, if it's true, changes everything. Because it sets Jesus apart from absolutely everyone. Absolutely everyone in the whole of history. Why is it 2,000 and some years later, people around the world are still talking about Jesus Christ? Why is it 2,000 years later, people are still trying to fully get their head around his teachings? All these years, you'd think if he was just a nutter, he would have pitted out by now. Or just dwindled down into a weird little sect. Maybe you think it has. But the church around the world is growing. There are billions of people that would call themselves followers of Jesus Christ all across the world, from all different walks of life, in all different contexts. So I'm going to look at this one. I am the resurrection and the life. I've seen God do some pretty amazing things, even just in the last few weeks. There was a young girl, 17 years old, Leanne, came forward for prayer. She came forward for prayer with two hearing aids in. During the prayer, I wasn't praying for her, but during the prayer, she took the hearing aids out and started screaming with joy. I can hear! Brilliant. Everyone, well, I thought it was exciting anyway. You're like, ooh. Somebody slapped you with a kipper when you walked in. Anyway, And we thought, this is brilliant. So we got her up. I said, can you come back to the evening service? I want as many people as possible to show you what God has done. So she came back to the evening service, and you had those people. You all get them. You know, she was placed. She was stayed. So her mum came as well. A mum who confirmed that she had been profoundly deaf from the age of 3. And she stood up on the platform, and I whispered a phrase in her ear. And I told her mum what I was going to say. She didn't know what I was going to say. And I whispered in her ear, Jesus loves you all. I said, would you please shout out what I've just said to you? And she shouted out, Jesus loves you all. And everyone was impacted and touched by that. Just seeing what God is still doing, not 2,000 years ago, 2 weeks ago. I was out preaching in Monaco a week ago. A lady, she had a really bad fall, her knee was really badly injured, swollen, bruised. We prayed for her. She really felt God impact her. And the next thing you know, she's doing circuits around the church. She could barely walk when she came in. I'm seeing God do some amazing things. And I'm not talking about, oh, I had a cold when I came in and now I feel a little bit better. Or my little finger was sore and now it's okay. I'm talking about huge things that you just can't explain away in any other way. Considering who Jesus is so, so important. Now, there's one thing I've never actually seen with my own eyes. I've never actually seen anyone raised from the dead. But there's an incident, a couple of incidents, but one particular incident I want to focus in on in Scripture, in the Bible, where Jesus was directly involved with this particular incident. And it's a story of a guy called Lazarus. Because when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. The closest I've come was, when we were kids, we used to knock about in this old derelict school. We used to knock about climbing the roof spaces and just be a general nuisance. And there was this old, we went in one day, and this old alcoholic homeless guy just having a, well, we thought he was dead initially. We walked in and he weren't budging. We were shouting, making noises, he weren't budging. So we got braver and braver, as you do at the age of 10 or 11, and he started getting a little bit closer and chucking little stones at him and running away, and he's not moving. So then you get a little bit braver and you get a big stick and you go up and you start poking him and he's not moving. So you go a little bit closer again and give him a good poke and bah! And then he jumps and wakes up and you absolutely fill your shorts and run. That's the closest I've come to seeing a resurrection. I'm not sure if he was dead or not. But he certainly scared us. But in the resurrection story, if you want to know where it is in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book, it's in John 11. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. I'm going to pause there for a second. Maybe here today, someone you love is sick. Maybe it's your husband, your wife, your children, your grandparents. Maybe you yourself are sick. Maybe you've come here today, maybe you're battling with a particular illness, a particular syndrome. I don't know what it may be, but maybe you're sick. Maybe you've come here today and maybe the dream that you had, the dream job, the dream life, the dream marriage, whatever it may be, maybe those things are feels like they're slipping away, kind of losing grip on them a little bit. Maybe the plans that you had, you know, get qualified, leave uni, get that job, maybe it just hasn't worked out. Maybe the things that you thought the way they were going to go, it just didn't quite happen. Well, maybe, just maybe, I want you to consider this. God's got a different plan for you, and God wants to really do something in your life. And maybe, just maybe, he wants to do that this morning for you. When I was still in prison, my granddad Tony, my dad's dad, we were really close knit as a family, the Tunningleys. If you meet another Tunningley, we are related. There is only us. And in fact, we made it so big in Australia, there's Tunningley Lane in Australia. We did all right. So ex-convict, Australia, it all goes together. And the trouble I have getting into Australia, it should give me extra credits for getting in, being an ex-convict. But apparently, no, it doesn't. And When I was still in prison, my granddad fell really ill. And there was a particular prison officer, just well, actually the only prison officer at this time. I'd been a Christian a while, but he just didn't like me. For whatever reason, he didn't like me. And he came, opened the flap on my cell door. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And he said, oh, your dad's been in touch. Your granddad's really ill. It looks like he's going to die. He won't last the night. And just shut the flap. That was it. No other information, no way of contacting anybody, nothing. So the only thing I knew to do was pray. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And when they opened us up for breakfast, the lads who were also Christians on the wing, we got together and we prayed. And one of the lads prayed and said, God, give him an opportunity to see his granddad before he dies. Now this, on the face of it, was an impossible task. I was in prison. There's no way. My granddad was in Leeds cardiac unit. I was in prison in Rochdale, wrong side of the Pennines. But that's what he asked for. That tea time, prison governor came to see me and knocked me for six. He said, we're going to let you go and see your granddad. We're going to pay for the transportation, a taxi. You're going to have to go handcuffed, one each side, prison officers. We've got two prison officers who volunteered. We're going to take you to see your granddad in the morning. Impossible. It shouldn't have happened. But the next morning comes and I get my stuff together and I'm still in my prison clothes and I get taken down to reception. I get custody cuffed. It's like these big padlock cuffs, one on that side, one on that side. We go in, put in this taxi, which they paid for, drove me from Rochdale to Leeds cardiac unit. We get to the hospital and my granddad didn't actually know I was in prison. The family would have broke his heart. The family told him I was working away. Anyway, and I don't know if he believed it or not, but that's what they told him. And we get to the hospital, and he was up on the third floor, and the elevator, they pressed the button, the elevator doors open. The elevator was pretty full. And bear in mind, I'm in prison. I was 16 stone, been in the gym every day, shaved head, handcuffed either side. And the lift doors open. Everybody took a look and went like that. So I had some fun with it, like, we get up out of the lift, and the two prison officers looked at each other, and they just sort of nodded and went, come here. And they took the cuffs off and say, you don't want your granddad seeing you like that. Go on. None of those things should have happened, not one. And I got to sit with my granddad. I got them to remove the mask that was forcing down to his lungs to keep the fluid out, to let him have a cup of tea. And I got to pray with him. The following day, he died. None of those things should have happened. None of those things should have happened. God cares about what's on your heart. He cares about the people you care about. So maybe, just maybe, you need to consider this statement. Everything Jesus did was for God's glory. He didn't do it to big anybody else up other than God. God can't glorify anyone else but himself. If he did, he wouldn't be God. You know what I mean? There's only him that he's the ultimate. He can't glorify someone or something else. He is the ultimate. If he glorifies someone or something else, it diminishes who he is. He is God. So Jesus, standing there, he says, when he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And that's John 11:4. Everything he did was for God's glory. God can heal you. God can set things straight. God, there's nothing God cannot do. We're talking about the God that created the heavens and the earth. We're talking about the God that sustains the universe by the very power of his word. We're talking about the God that made Balaam's donkey talk. You know what I mean? Long before Shrek, this donkey spoke. This is a God that can do anything. Random, isn't it? But I know he can do anything. Anything at all. But it's got to be for his glory. God will glorify the name of Jesus in this place today if you will allow him to. If you will allow him to. It says, Jesus waited 2 days, then said, let's go back to Judea. The response from the disciples was, the Jews tried to kill you. Why go back? Jesus said, Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up. It looked like a dead end. Going back looked like a dead end because they already tried to kill him. So the disciples going back looked like a dead end. The whole situation with Lazarus looked like a dead end. Everything looked bleak. Everything looked wrong. But there are three main characters in this story that I want to focus in on: Thomas, Mary, and Martha. Maybe you're like Thomas. Maybe you're dead in your doubts. Maybe your dead end is your doubts. He says, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, which I kind of think is like his rapper name. Yo, Didymus. Said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. He's a cheerful bloke. Let's go with Jesus and we can die too. Party, Didymus. Have you ever had spiritual doubts? If you haven't, all you perfect people, give your halo a polish. But the rest of us who have had spiritual doubts, maybe this is for you. Maybe you're dead in those doubts. Maybe those doubts are just stopping you pushing through, stopping you getting where you need to be. Maybe this is for you. Maybe this morning is for you. If you've ever had spiritual doubts, if you've ever prayed and nothing's happened, if maybe you believed growing up, then you got to college and all these fancy people with their philosophies kind of threw you for six a little bit. Maybe bad things happened and you've questioned why and never really got a reasonable answer. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are, but it's led you to a place where you've got doubts. Maybe you're in church, maybe you're in church leadership and you've got doubts and you feel like you can't tell anybody because you're the leader. The amount of conferences I've been to where you see the leaders and you know they want to respond, but they're like, but I can't, I'm the leader. Everyone thinks I'm sorted. I'm like, well, if you're the leader, you should be the most broken, the most messed up, the first one on their knees to be able to lead anybody else. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're just in that place, in that head place. Maybe your heart's just damaged. Maybe God wants to resurrect you out of that death that your doubts have brought you to, that all those years have led you to. Maybe today is the day things get reignited. Maybe you're like Mary. Maybe you're dead in your discouragement. It said when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed home. Why did Mary stay home? Because she was dead in her discouragement. She thought, that's it. He's dead. There's nothing to be done. There's no more hope. There's nothing else. Like my situation, my granddad, it's a dead end. What can happen? Nothing can possibly happen. All the while forgetting who Jesus is. She just totally forgot. Maybe you're battling with depression. Maybe you're in a bad marriage. Maybe you're feeling like you're always failing as a parent. Maybe you're feeling like no one really loves you. Maybe you're feeling like you're in a dead-end job. Maybe you're feeling like the dream is dead. Maybe you're just feeling dead in your discouragement. It's all just weighs a little bit too much for you. It's all just getting on top of you. Everything's a mess. Can't be fixed. There's nothing can be done. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It doesn't matter what you're dead in. Jesus can resurrect it. He can resurrect your marriage. He can resurrect your attitude towards your job, to your family, to your kids, to your husband, to your wife. He can resurrect that love. If you'll allow him to. Because this is who Jesus is. I don't know what your concept of God was, but I'm telling you who Jesus is. Maybe you're like Martha. Maybe you're dead in your delay. He says that Jesus took about 4 days to actually get to the tomb. And that's important because in the Jewish culture around that time, they believed that the spirit of the person kind of hung around for about 3 days. So Jesus leaving it 4 days was really important because he was making a statement by leaving it 4 days, that by leaving it 4 days, it was done. There was nothing could be done because after 4 days, that is it. 2 days, maybe. 3 days, maybe. But 4 days, no, forget it. This is the way they thought. So Jesus leaving it that amount of time was really important. And I love in the King James Version, it just says things a little bit better sometimes. He says when they said they talk about rolling the stone away and Lazarus had been dead for these 3 days. And he says in the King James, but Lord, he stinketh. It's like, yeah, I know loads of people in Barnsley who stinketh. I just love it sometimes. It says it a little bit better. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Lord, Mary said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. She'd become dead in the delay. If you would have been here, if God had heard me, if God had answered my prayer on my time frame, on my time scale, according to my plan, if. And you become dead in the delay, all the way forgetting that God's delays are not God's denials. Just because he says not yet, that's not no. It's just not yet. When I tell my children that no, you can't have ice cream for breakfast, you might get it after tea if you get enough smiley faces on your chart. It's not a no, it's a not now. And we're just as bad as we were when we were kids. We ask God for something and we want it now. Or I'll scream and scream and scream until I'm thick. And we behave like immature children sometimes. And God is like, no, you're not ready for it yet. It's not within my plan yet. The timing's not right yet. But what do? We become completely dead, thinking that the delay is a denial. We think that the delay is just a flatten out no, and then we go into sulky mode. We have a little tantrum. We spit the dummy out. We throw the teddy out. I'm not coming to church anymore then. God didn't hear me, so I'm going to stop believing in him. All these different things you've heard over and over again and maybe even said yourself. This is God you're talking about. You're dictating to him how he should do things. Do you get how daft that sounds? You wouldn't walk into a foreign country, go see the king of that country and start making demands. You don't rock up to church, the representative of the kingdom of heaven on earth, and start making demands of the king. No, you ask the king. You humbly ask the king. You seek the king. You trust in his wisdom and his guidance and his leadership. And whatever he says, you trust that he knows best. Or you go the opposite way and you just become completely dead in the delay. Not yet doesn't mean God's not in charge. The best thing I like about this whole story, my Bible, is everything bad happens on page 1227. Everything bad in my Bible, it happens on that page. But you turn the page, 1228, and it all changes. Everything changes. With one turn of the page, everything changes. Maybe you walked in here today on page 1227. And what you really need, and it's simple as this, is just turn the page. Just like God turned the page. 1,228, things are good. It's that lovely picture of it was a tradition of the temple at Jerusalem that you would never leave by the same door that you entered. It was a Jewish tradition. And I love that imagery of turn the page, everything changes. Don't leave the same way you came in. If you walk out of here on page 1,227, that's your choice. God is saying, you don't have to. We can turn the page. And everything changes. Your whole perception changes. Your heart changes. Everything about you changes. Martha said, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. In John 11, 22, some of you, even now, need to turn the page. If you're discouraged, God can restore your faith. If you're lonely, God is the comforter. If you're in confusion, God can bring you peace. If you're financially troubled, God is the great provider. If you've got a broken family, God can put the pieces together. If you've made mistakes, God understands that life matters. If you become cold and callous towards God, he can warm and soften up your heart. If you become dead in your faith, God can bring you back to life. Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Leaves it with a question. Do you believe this? If you get nothing else from today, I want you to get this. If you're taking notes, get this. Write this down. The resurrection is not an event. It's not something that happened. The resurrection is a person. The resurrection is someone who is, not something that was. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not "I was." Not "I will be." I am the resurrection and the life. And he's just as much the resurrection and the life today as he was all those years ago. Nothing has changed. It's not something that happened. It's not a historical event that you can research and quantify. He is the resurrection and the life. That's why for your situation, whatever it may be, whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus told them, "Take the stone away." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Jesus told the disciples to roll the stone away. You came to church, and whatever you brought with you, that's fine. But Jesus' disciples are here. And what we can do is we can roll the stone away. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. You came here, you listened, we're rolling the stone away. The tomb is being opened up. But maybe, just maybe, you still feel trapped in your tomb. Maybe you're in that tomb of discouragement, that tomb of depression, that tomb of sickness, that tomb of mental health issues, that tomb of addiction. We really felt strongly that people today will be set free from addictions, addictions to prescription medication, addictions to pornography, addictions to alcohol. Whatever your little tomb is, whatever tomb you've created in your life, and that can be a tomb of success. It can be a tomb of cash, because that stuff can pull you away from God just as easy as addiction and drugs and all the rest of it. Whatever your tomb is, the stone has been rolled away. And now comes the important bit. The same voice that called Lazarus out, the same voice of Jesus Christ is calling you out. He's saying, "Come out of your depression. Come out of your sickness. Come out of your addiction. Come out of your doubt." The same voice is calling out to you. Today, right here, right now, is calling to you. Come forth. Dave, come forth. Jane, come forth. Bob, come forth. The same voice that called out to Lazarus all those years ago is calling out to you. The stone has been rolled away. You've got to listen. Lazarus had to respond. Lazarus heard the voice, but he had to respond. He had to obey. When Jesus said, "Come forth," he could have said, "No, I'm staying. I'm quite happy in my tomb, thanks. I like these burial wraps. They're nice. It's nice and cool in here. It doesn't stinketh." But Lazarus said, no, I hear the voice of Jesus calling. It's time for me to walk out of this tomb. It's time for me to get out. It's time for me to leave. It's time for you to take that step of faith. Because it does need a step of faith. It's required of you. There's no other way around it. If my God can defeat death, my God can do anything. Your page turner is coming, and it's coming so that God might be glorified. Page 1228 doesn't mean that everyone will be healed, but it does mean that God will be glorified. The question is the same question Jesus asked. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. This is your resurrection, your life, your faith, your hope, your encouragement, your dreams, your passion, your marriage, your first love. This is your resurrection, but you've got to take the step. I love how everybody has a go at Peter when he stepped out of the boat and then he sank and Jesus pulled him back up. There's two things that people always miss. Number one, to my knowledge, is the only person apart from Jesus that walked on water. And number two, as if you've ever read the scripture very, very carefully, he says that he walked on water, and yes, he did sink, and Jesus lifted him back up. And what does it say? They returned to the boat. Well, unless they flew, he walked on water twice. Once on his own, once with his hand in Jesus' hand. If you will take that step, hear that voice calling you out, Jesus will put his hand in yours and the impossible will become possible. But it's up to you. It really is up to you. And this is where my message comes to an end. I've rolled the stone. It's gone. It's up to you now. You're going to have an opportunity to just close our eyes and take a really brave step and pray a prayer that a guy called David prayed thousands of years ago. He prayed this very, very dangerous prayer. He said, search my heart, O God, and consume any wrong thing within me. That's a dangerous prayer. Because if you ask him to search, he'll search. And in the searching, he'll highlight. And when he highlights, that's painful. But then you'll hear that voice, come forth, come out of the addiction, out of that behavior, out of that pain, out of that depression, out of those mental health issues. God can heal you. God can call you out. He can call you forth. I've seen him do it. But I don't believe because I've seen. I believe because he's God. And whether he does it or he doesn't do it, I still believe. I don't just believe God can, I believe God will. And whatever the answer may be, he's still God, and I still believe God can, and I still believe God will. But this is your opportunity. This is your time. So let's just close our eyes. Holy Spirit, please just do what you do best. Glorify the name of Jesus in this place, right here, right now. For those that are willing, we cry out to you, Lord. Search our hearts. Search them and consume. Consume the addictions. Consume the hate. Consume the unforgiveness. We release it all to you. We hear your voice. The stone has been rolled away, and we hear your voice calling us out of our tombs of depression, out of our tombs of addiction, out of our tombs of failure, out of our tombs of success even. All the things that we try to replace you with, all the while forgetting Life without you, no matter how sweet, is still a shadow of a life with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come now.